going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We don't have to be apologetic for Shedeur Sanders not getting drafted. 32 teams didn't draft him. They got 6 more rounds left in this draft and the opportunity for him to go pro. Sometimes we have an affinity for these kids. Like Dan does breakdowns. Dominique, we've all been doing drafts for a long time. We want to see them live their dreams. We want to see them drafted where they want to be drafted. But that's not always the case. I wanted Lamar Jackson to be a top 5 pick. He ended up going 32nd. I love what Dan said. We are not in mourning. It happens every single year where somebody doesn't get drafted, where people think they're going to get drafted.
Marcus Spears, you've said about how you love the draft for the moments, the celebrations, the culmination of the hard work, all the years, and here's the moment. And that obviously comes across. With each pick in the first round, you see the joy and maybe some relief. But there also is this every year, you know, players who it's tough to watch sometimes. Sanders, I wouldn't say for me he was tough to watch exactly because there were a lot of people around him and he was not supposed to go in the top 5. Again, objectively, the betting markets are your guide. And while at the beginning of the draft process, he was talked about even like on a tier with Ward or above. That changed. So it was not surprising, I would say, that he wasn't picked last night. Now, tonight could be another thing if, like Adam Schefter said, it could be into the third round and then who knows. And that obviously significantly affects the player's chances of succeeding. You don't have the same level of investment from the team as you would with a first round pick where the guy would get every chance. So Sanders, what I was thinking about him last night, which is kind of adjacent to what you were saying, watching on ESPN, I was watching NFL Network, but I was in and out of it because I was on the ship chasing stream and I was watching that and sometimes listening and paying more attention to that. It felt like every time I looked at NFL Network, they were at the Shedeur Sanders party. It almost seemed like the draft was at that party.
Yeah.
Which it, you know, it wasn't, but
yeah.
There was a lot of coverage on him.
ESPN showed a fair amount of that party, but mostly, like, you can be uncomfortable watching a guy if they're, you know they're dropping and it's got to be heartbreaking and the family is there and, maybe the mom is holding the son's hand or the girlfriend or whatever. Just like it's, you can tell it's tense, right? Most of the time ESPN cut, it was just it was an empty room. Like a staged part of the, and I was like, okay, he's not even in there. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is not Thurman Thomas sleeping on the couch in 1988. Like, he's not even there. The whole thing was odd to an extent. I mean, he's, you know, a popular and famous name and is a quarterback to boot. So, you know, I got no beef with ESPN or any network focusing on him. Really, you know, what I was saying to start today, just the launch of the actual draft, like when Roger Goodell rides all the former Packers, they all ride bicycles out there. He says the 2025 draft is open. Tennessee is on the clock. They go to the desk, and there's your crew, right? It's Louis Riddick and Greenberg and Booger McFarland and Mel Kiper. And it just is, okay, Tennessee, they're going to pick Cam Ward. He's a, minus 2,000 or something?
20,000.
Right. It's like they're picking Cam Ward. And it's all just Sanders and Mel, and he's like yelling at you about how good Sanders is and my reputation and all these other guys that I've been right about and all this stuff. And it's like, this could be at like 10:30 when he hasn't been picked yet. Why are we doing this right now? Cam Ward, this is Cam Ward's moment. It just was awkward, I thought. And it made me feel uncomfortable for Cam Ward and for, I don't know, everyone else watching. Like, what, it just seemed inappropriate the way they handled that last night to me.
I will never remember any of that, but the Hunter trade is legendary at pick 2. And you did have a report from Jay Glazer that was going to happen before the draft started. I don't know what it sounded like. I was at the event for Carlin Hartman on Grand Island, his Hall of Fame induction there. So I couldn't hear anything. But I'm on Twitter, and there's the Glazer thing, and it's not even 8 yet. Mm-hmm. And like I saw Schefter talking. When was it? Was ESPN talking about the Hunter trade before the first pick? Or is it just about Sanders?
They didn't really start talking about Sanders that I saw. I wasn't glued to it before it started. I was watching hockey right up until like 5 to 8 or so. So I didn't get there until really, that's why it stood out to me that like my point of entry on the draft coverage was we're on the clock, and it was all about the guy that's not going to end up getting picked at all mm-hmm. day. So I don't know what went on before. So I'm not sure when Schefter said anything about the trade.
But right after Ward, that was announced.
Yeah.
Like there was no delay. And he's on the screen and there's the trade, mm-hmm. Logo on whatever. So that was done. And that's incredible. Jacksonville, we were talking about them this week. Like they're doing a lot of work trying to keep people guessing. And I don't know, maybe it was all legit. There was a report yesterday that might happen
mm-hmm.
early in the day. And we acknowledged it. But still, how about the Browns in that? I mean, that's really bold to trade away from that player. Would you have done it? I would have taken a lot of courage to trade him. The numbers people all heavily, I shouldn't say all, but mostly at least, heavily favor the Browns in the trade. The fact that he's not a quarterback, Kevin Cole, for one. The fact that Hunter is not a quarterback, what they got for a player that can even pull off what he's hoping to pull off, playing at an elite level on both.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we started together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Offense and defense. You make that trade every time. Now, maybe I saw Monson say, like, doesn't the fact that he is potentially two players change that? And a response that he got was, I think maybe from Brian Burke, who's in the analytics world, is that is the problem with trading up. That is the overconfidence in knowing that my guy is going to be all that is how you get into trouble. And there are countless examples of that. The question is, does Hunter count as an exception? Should there be an exception to that? I mean, I've kind of said for years that there shouldn't be an exception to that rule. Just, swallow hard and accept that you don't know what you think you know here.
Well, the two-player thing, I've struggled with that all along. I mean, if people have been paying attention, the idea of him playing like he did in college anyway. I was, again, ESPN, Louis Riddick at one point is talking about how, if he were to play full time in the NFL, it's going to be fewer plays than he was playing in college, because college, there's just more plays in college games, and so he's been playing like 120 or 140 snaps a game if he's playing full time on both sides of the ball, and then it'll be that much when you get to the NFL. And so, you know, it from a stamina standpoint, you could probably do it. I just think at some point you're going to, I don't know how early, I just would not settle for, because that was a lot of ESPN was, they got 2-for-1 here. And I don't, maybe it's 1.5 for one, I would say. You know, I think certainly they should try to use him on both sides of the ball. But I think you're going to have to focus on one, at least to start, to get him up and running as like a wide receiver to run with Brian Thomas and make that work. And then this is my preference. Like, if I'm running the Jaguars, and this, my read of it is this, because, you know, Liam Cohen's the new head coach there, and the hotness of the idea for Jacksonville is pairing him with Brian Thomas Jr. and Trevor Lawrence and this new scheming play caller. So I need you to play receiver for me. And then, I've said this a few times, like, sprinkle him in on defense, you know, like, depending on how the series on offense has gone. So I'd be stunned if ever, even this year, we're talking about a guy who is playing 80% of the snaps on both sides of the ball. I think that's nuts. I mean, even Deion never played that much on both sides of the ball. It was defense primarily and kick returning, and then the odd offensive series here or there. I think this will be the opposite of that, is what I would guess sitting here now. So there is value added. It is not just a great receiver. It is someone who should be able to help you situationally on the other side of the ball. I just don't think it's 2-for-1. You did not get a starting wide receiver and starting cornerback, I don't think, by making that trade.
Well, it was always not set up great for the Browns to draft their starting quarterback this year. It was probably going to have to be next year. You could get lucky with a Milrow or a Sanders, and maybe that'll still happen. But this trade gives them a huge advantage toward that. I mean, imagine a world where maybe Jacksonville isn't really good. So there's the first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Your own, you'll be bad probably. And then that pick, too, that's great. You have the second round pick tonight as well. That was early, so the Browns have 2 of the first 4 picks tonight, I believe. So that's good. I think it's great for Cleveland. It's stunning, and it couldn't have been easy to decide to do it. I just kind of wish, this is how I felt about the Bills last year and when they traded down. I just wish they would have done one more thing. When they got to 33 and eventually pick Coleman, just, you have all day, and there have to be teams calling you about moving up because they've had all night to ponder this one guy they loved is sitting on the board. The Bills didn't take advantage of that. That's my opinion, at least. And the Browns at 5. Nobody was game for Genty at 5. That was the speculation all day, was Chicago was going to go to 5 and get Genty. And Jacksonville was going to go to 10. So there was no chance for the Browns to make the next move. And I don't think that would have been a first. Maybe 10-5, maybe a next year's first for that. I mean, that's a wild trade to make for a running back.
But yeah.
I mean, the betting markets reflected that was expected, that Genty would get to the Bears somehow, and they were picking 10th. The Raiders were also getting mocked to a lineman, Banks. Or Membo, one of the two linemen there, and less so often Genty. But anyway, the Browns do all that, and it's amazing in different ways, end up with a defensive tackle.
Yeah, from a fan standpoint, that might have been tough to... I'm imagining how we'd be reacting with the wide receiver train and all this if somehow the Bills had come to the second overall pick. And they go, yeah, we're going to get... And it's Travis Hunter. And we're going to get out of here, and we're going to draft a 310-pound dude.
Needs.
We go, what? What are you doing to us? You're right. Cleveland has pick 1 tonight and pick 4. Houston and Tennessee in between.
And Houston got that from the Giants.
Right.
There was also an incredible Rams-Falcons trade.
Yeah, the Falcons trade was amazing. I could not believe that included a first for next year. That was mind-boggling.
Maybe the Bills wouldn't have done it, but if they had had a chance at that... The Rams just say no or something, and they'd had a chance at that. Wow. What a gift. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We expect the Bills' first-round pick, Maxwell Hairston, to speak down at the stadium around 5. We're hoping to carry it live. We're planning to. And, of course, day two of the NFL draft tonight, getting going at 7 with that first Browns pick. Back after this here on WGR.